This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN.
On TeeWee.
Where we have the return of Donald Marco LaGreca. It's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now. What's it called?
DoorDash.
Right. The app, it gives you the best New York has to offer. Go get more from your neighborhood today with DoorDash. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
It's dumb.
Let's say good evening to Don.
You think about the porn nurse.
I like it. I like it. And the sentimental value, too, Michael, of it being the first drop since he came back.
Yep. It's an important moment.
It's an important moment, and I could see a good seed because you factor in the sentimental value plus, you know, anything with porn in it.
Was doing porn.
Right.
Because we didn't know what we were getting back. We had no idea what Don was returning. Was he diminished? Was he not going to be the same guy? But right away, a clarion call that all is well.
Yeah, could it be a 75% Don, a 50% Don?
It wasn't.
No, it's 150 Don.
I think the first hour went well.
And let's say
well,
good
how do you
evening.
Feel, though?
Good.
Good.
Let's say good evening to myself as well.
Ron DeSantis.
I call him San Durantis, but go ahead. Guys, you want to start with the goings-on of football during Combine Week?
Sure.
Even though all of us agree that the Combine is stupid and moronic and should be...
Yeah!
But besides that, there's a lot of good conversations happening, including conversations with Jets general manager Joe Douglas. And he was asked about Quinnen Williams' fifth-year option that's approaching.
Had a good opportunity to get with Nicole at the Combine. Had a productive conversation with her. As of right now, we are going to pick up Quinnen's option. And we had that conversation. I don't think that's really huge news, but we're excited to have Quinnen. This is going to be year two in a defense that we feel really accentuates his strengths, his positives. And, you know, looking forward to him for him to, you know, come back and dominate this offseason and have a great year.
Guys, this isn't a surprise. He's one of the very few names on this team that's worth keeping.
Yeah,
I mean, he has a very bright future when he gets back. I think this is the right move. Listen, there aren't a lot of pieces they got to hang on to, but when you get a guy like that who's that good up front, I think that's a valuable place to spend the money.
Makes sense. It's just that both New York teams never seem to keep their own draft picks past first contract. Let's hope that this is an outlier.
Everybody gets giddy about having cap space and draft picks, but part of having the space is being able to keep the players that you have. You know, Barrios is another one, right? These are guys that you want to try to hold on to.
I don't think they're going to keep him.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's going to be too much money.
And but
because I don't think they look at him as a number one receiver.
No.
And he's going to want big money, and you know maybe somebody will give it to him, but I bet you he doesn't sign with the Jets.
Well, maybe he prices himself out, but...
Yes. I think they'd like to keep him at a reasonable
number. He's somebody
number.
I'd like to see them keep.
I know. You could just picture him going to a better team and really having an
New
important
England.
Role. Yeah, and playing an important role for something.
He could fill the Edelman-Welker role.
Joe Douglas also says he's open to trades.
There is a little bit more certainty when you're talking about the pro player market versus the draft market. And so I think that's why you see volatility in the draft. But, you know, again, like I said earlier, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself in the trade market, we're ready to strike.
Now, the Giants made some moves as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Veteran tight end Kyle Rudolph out.
He gone.
He announced it on social media. He was scheduled to count $7.4 million against the cap this year, and we know the Giants are in cap hell.
I think they'll save $5.1 million, right?
They'll save $5 million. Yep.
Okay. That's a lot. Booker's another one I think they're going to let go.
They did.
Saved money, right? So
Devontae Booker also out.
So now the question becomes, what do you do with Barkley?
And you heard, we talked about that a lot. I think the move is you get rid of him. You trade him.
Well, there's one little caveat, Michael, that makes me want to see him stay, is that if you really want to get a good look at Jones, you need to have some weapons for the kid to use.
Is he a weapon, though? Has he been a weapon for 3 years?
No, but, you know, listen, that's part of the reason why you don't want to have him be your answer long term. But certainly his motivation will be to stay on the field because he's going to want a contract either from the Giants or somewhere else, you know, at season's end.
You can't bring in a good running back?
No, I'm with you. We had this conversation the day they drafted him. It was a mistake. But you do look at his rookie season. You do look at when healthy. I'm just trying to see, because I completely agree with you, Jones is not the answer, you wouldn't think. But I'm not cutting him. I'm not trading him. I'm going to have him for that fourth year to find out if I have something here. So doesn't it behoove the Giants to have some weapons and some protection on the offensive line to really find out what you have? And I'm with you, too, whether it's Trubisky or somebody else. Bring in somebody that could steal the job away from him. But then that guy's going to want some weapons, too.
Now, we said this in the first half of the show. I wonder if you agree. Talking to a friend of mine who said he thinks that Dave Gettleman might be the worst GM in the history of New York. Because when you look at this team, who's the keeper? First of all, the team's in cap hell, so it should be better off than it is. And the one that me and Peter came up with, Peter and I came up with, Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
Who else is the keeper on this team that you have to have?
Absolute keeper. Not a questionable keeper, but the keeper.
Well, the interesting thing, there have been guys that have worked. I thought Bradbury's first year was excellent, but you're already looking at him probably being a cap casualty.
Yep.
Blake Martinez I thought was a good pickup. He's also somebody that's going to be a cap casualty and certainly was hurt most, if not all, of last year. Yeah, well, unless Daniel Jones turns out to be some hidden gem that took a while to mature.
Well, maybe Leonard Williams.
But again, the knock with Leonard Williams is you could have had him as a free agent. They didn't have to trade for him.
Right. So but he has been a good player.
Yeah, you know, he's been a very good player. And, you know, maybe Andrew Thomas turns out to be the next great, you know, tackle in this league or wherever they end up putting him in when it's all said and done. But you're right. The worst general manager in the history of New York?
It's in the discussion. I would say Phil Jackson's in the discussion, too.
Well, Phil Jackson, I don't want to get technical, but was he the general manager?
Right. Brody Van Wagenen?
Not good.
Not what you want.
There's been some bad ones. You got to go back.
John Idzik. Although he didn't really get a chance to do this thing.
John Idzik's biggest mistake was doing what he was told.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maccagnan certainly looks bad after it's all said and done, although nobody gives Gase credit for that because Gase turned out to not be good at his job, but getting rid of Maccagnan looked like it was the right thing to do, as much as the timing was poor. God, I'd have to – Peter, right, it's so jarring to say because you're talking about literally over 100 years.
Of many teams.
Of four sports and –
You can knock the Yankees out for like, you know, since 23. You can't blame the GMs for doing anything wrong.
I spend a lot of time thinking about the Yankees GMs pre-23, though.
Isaiah Thomas could crack the list.
Yeah, pretty rough.
Although some of his moves actually don't look that awful. I'm just saying that the overall job that Gettleman did is just brutal. Two coaches. Wasted high draft picks?
Yeah, quarterback that they have no idea about. They go into year four.
And please, let's not forget, what was he here for, 5 years?
Yeah.
Four?
Four or five.
All right. For more than half, he was expected to win. You know, that gets lost all the time, is that all of these 3-13 seasons, they went into the offseason thinking, we're going to be a playoff team. We're going to go for it.
2018 to 2021. He came on board December 28th, 2017.
So 18, 19, 20, 21.
4 years.
And in half those years. Well, the year they drafted Barkley,
they did it because they wanted to win.
They wanted to win. How'd that work out? And he was rookie of the year, right? So it wasn't like it was his fault they were bad.
Andrew, I'm going to blow your mind right now. Did you know that Dave Gettleman on his Wikipedia page, and first thing under personal life, is that he's a Jew for Jesus?
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Wikipedia could be done by fans.
I need that documented. Go to the references and see the article.
Great point.
Is there some sort of number 21 next to that?
There's 21, and it refers to an article from Billy Graham's Evangelical Association. Carolina Panthers general manager finds peace in Christ.
Wow. Didn't know that. I just learned
And he
something.
Took a similar approach to his spiritual journey to become a messianic Jewish follower of Jesus Christ. How do you like them apples? How do you like them apples with honey? Jays.
Anthony Greek has a good contender for worst GM, Andy Robustelli.
Yeah.
Giants are 21-51, 292 winning percentage from 1974 to 78.
See, that's why you got to think, man. No,
seriously. You got to think, Peter.
Well, one team that's not accused of a lot of bad personnel decisions would be the Seattle Seahawks. And Pete Carroll spoke on the situation with Russell Wilson. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Pete.
This conversation is about everybody. We talk about everybody. And that's commonplace for us to have conversations with teams about all of the players, particularly marquee players. And that's not changed. It's been the same every year we've been here. So it's the same as it's been. We have no intention of making any move there. But the conversations, John has to field those, he always has. But nothing specific to that. Let me say this. Russell and I have had a partnership for all of these years. We've worked at this the whole time. And, you know, we've always tell you that he says the same thing I do because it's the truth. It's how we've worked at stuff. We've communicated on a really high level. And with that thought, I felt it was hugely important that we communicated really well and that we would be in touch. We would know what's going on. And we could take the time to step aside some of the action that's at hand and make sure that we keep things in proper perspective. And that's what we've done.
I wish I looked like that and am as lively as that at 69.
So true.
You would not look at that guy and go, yeah, he's 69 years old.
Not at all. You don't even think about age with him.
No.
It's interesting. I feel that we're going to end up in a situation where all these names that we're excited about talking about movement, not
going to stay right there, including Rodgers.
Rodgers, nothing. Wilson, nothing. Maybe Derek Carr?
Yay!
I don't know. They've got to have a quarterback, right?
But where are they going? Exactly.
Yeah, they'll probably keep him.
I mean,
I'm sure McDaniels likes him.
Jimmy G could certainly happen. Although we keep getting hints that that's not even a guarantee, and that's the least exciting of the options.
And
all this combo
Bruce Arians,
about movement.
Bruce Arians kind of shot down Brady going anywhere. He said, no, we wouldn't allow him to go anywhere. That's bad business. He said, if somebody gave us five first-round draft picks, yeah, we would. He said, but we're not just going to let him go. We have a year left on the contract.
Where does Tampa go next year for a quarterback?
They don't know. They said they might stay with Blaine Gabbert, who's been in the system for 5 years. He's 32 years old.
Wow, that's quite the drop-off, no?
A little bit.
I would say, Don, could it be the biggest drop-off in quarterback history? Because Tom Brady's the GOAT, and Blaine Gabbert is basically the GOAT of bums.
Well, again.
Jabroni Pumpleduck. What?
Like, yeah, I mean, never really had a chance.
But like the general manager discussion, it's a deep dive. I mean, who replaced Steve Young? Do you remember?
Was it Jeff Garcia?
That's the next one I remember.
Eli Daniel Jones wasn't pretty.
None of these are even close to what you're saying. No one's on my level yet. So far, Brady to Gabbert, you guys ain't sniffing it.
Maybe Rodgers to Love.
Love? Well, it hasn't happened yet.
And we don't know what Jordan Love's going to be.
Who was after Bart Starr? Lynn Dickey?
That's not the same drop. Lynn Dickey wasn't a terrible player.
Dickey's at least a known commodity.
Ed Hospodar.
Well, so's
Gabbert.
I stopped myself from saying.
How about
Lee McPhail,
Michael?
Lee McPhail did not exactly wasn't great as the GM of the Yankees. 67 to 73, not good.
They contended in 71, 72, and then George bought the team in 73. They weren't. He drafted Thurman Munson and Roy White and Bobby Mercer.
Well, everybody's got something on their resume.
But that's my point. What is Dave Gettleman something?
I mean, Idzik's got Sheldon Richardson.
All right, but
Gettleman might have Andrew Thomas. I don't know.
Okay, an offensive tackle.
Well, it's not like it's not important.
You have a borderline Hall of Famer in Thurman Munson and two guys. Roy White won two championships.
But more importantly, they competed.
Right.
Giants didn't compete. Let's hear from Mike Tannenbaum. He was on with KJM.
Oh, Tannenbaum.
Talking about how the Cardinals should deal with Kyler Murray.
I'll tell you this. If I was Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, who's done a really good job, it's really easy for me. Hey, Eric Burkhart, we could have disagreement. We could have discourse. If you even breathe on social media, on TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter, you're going to play out this year. You're going to play out next year. You're going to play on the franchise tag. We'll talk to you in 3 years. We don't do business through social media. So if you even look at your Twitter account, this negotiation is over.
Oh, if only he really did that. You think he's ever taken that stance? Because the one thing that the player has is to withhold his talents. He can pull a James Harden.
He's not going to do that.
Well, how do you know?
He's
already done something like a Nudnik and scrubbed the Cardinals off of social media.
I know. Well, listen, I understand that. But
Deshaun Watson didn't play.
He's a third-year player who, by the way, did not look good at the end of his third year.
I get it. But if he does not like being there unless they give him the money, all he has to do is be terrible. I don't put it past anybody anymore.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. Listen, I can't say you're completely wrong, but to pull a Harden at this stage of his career, I mean, like, who's going to fall of themselves to bring him in?
It would be a bad time to do that.
It's not like he's coming off the MVP.
Did you hear while you were away, Don? Gunling totally all in on Harden.
Well, why wouldn't he be?
Drooling all over the guy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I love this guy.
Sixers are number two, right there with the Eagles, right there.
Look, I'll get behind anything.
Now, real quick, guys, just to close out the Cardinals story, the Cardinals also extended GM Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury, both through 2027. So they are happy with this operation in general.
I'm sure we'll hear that again.
What, in general?
Yeah.
I don't think that's that big a deal.
You jumped on poor Carlin for mispronouncing Masvidal.
Yeah, but he's a known commodity.
Well, general is also a known word.
Right, but that was a fumble. I'm very tired. I've been going.
every drop is. I didn't realize, Michael, that I can defend myself with some of these drops. But it was just a fumble.
Right. DoorDash.
I think we know you know how to pronounce general.
No, I always said the Globetrotters would play the Washington Geminoles.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Let's go to something we all agree is amazing. And I'd say, guys, let's have a conversation about the over-under until this man is on TV every day. And that is Chris Mad Dog Russo. Him and Stephen A. had a moment that set Twitter ablaze. Again, it was just Mad Dog's second time on with Stephen A. on First Take, and this one was even hotter than the first one. Here they are arguing on whether or not Stephen A. was arguing that Curry's a top 10 all-time NBA player. Mad Dog arguing against that.
Where are you putting him all time then? You're going to make him a top 10 player? He's not a top 10 player. Where are you putting him all time?
You know what? I got to think about that. I think he could be.
No he's not.
I think he could.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I do.
Top 10?
Yes, I do.
Let's go through.
The greatest shooter in the history of it. You really want to do this? You want to do this?
Let's go.
Let's find.
Can we go through him?
Let's go. What do I need?
I can't hear you. They took my headset off. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
You can hear me. You can hear me loud and clear.
It dropped. It dropped. I am tired of this nonsense. You can't put him ahead of Bird. You can't put him ahead of Magic. You can't put him ahead of the three centers.
You can't put him ahead of Jordan.
You cannot put him ahead of LeBron. You can't put him ahead of Tim Duncan under any circumstances. You can't put him ahead of Tim Duncan. And you can't put him ahead of Kobe. That's 8-9 guys right there. You want me to go to Nowitzki? You want me to go to Wick? You want me to continue?
Don't go to Nowitzki enough. But he does have me on those veterans.
Okay, but how am I supposed to wrap him? He has no earpiece.
He took his earpiece out and threw it. He's a maniac.
No, what did I tell you when this happened?
Gold.
It's not going to work for Steven. Because you could see in Steven's face. Like, what you accuse me of is what Steven is. He's just going to outshout you. You can't outshout Chris.
The shouter.
Somebody, you know, he's got the energy. So at some point, you're going to have to let the debate happen. And he's going to come at you. I mean, Mad Dog is the greatest nickname of all time because that's what he is, a mad dog.
Your buddy gave it to him. Did you know that? Bob Raceman is the first one to call him Mad Dog.
Wow. Didn't know that. You know what? I take back what I said. Though old, annoying, and generally useless, writers can occasionally do something worthwhile.
That's wrong. Also, somebody on Twitter, it was a blue checkmark person, I would give credit, but I forgot who said it, said, Mad Dog essentially has been doing First Take for 40 years.
I know.
Yeah. This is
his wheelhouse.
This is right what he does. I will tell you, though, just for the sake of argument, if they were able to argue and his headset was in, the second he says Dirk, I pounce him. That is an absurd claim. Steph is way 10 spots ahead of Dirk.
But he got deep to Dirk, though.
He did. It was at 8 or 9. But the problem was, see, honestly though, it didn't really win the argument. It was very entertaining. But I mean, surely from the argument standpoint, he went through, I think, 8 or 9. The argument is Steph top 10? That it kind of leaves him right there. He's gonna end up right around there.
And the debate was one game, who you take? Game 7 NBA Finals, who do you want on your team?
You know what? That changes the whole thing because
who are you taking?
A red-hot Curry might be better than a lot of those guys.
I know, but I mean, we're talking Larry Bird. We're talking Magic, LeBron, Michael Jordan. There's four right there.
Well, those four we got.
Bill Russell, that was a big argument.
Then he went to Bill Russell.
Wilt. Kareem. Now you're at 7.
Right.
Okay. I'm not giving
Kobe.
I think Kobe is better than Steph Curry. Right. Yes, I do.
So then that's what, 8?
Oscar Robertson.
The Oscars. I mean, listen, it's hard for me to talk Oscar Robertson from not really watching him play, but certainly he's right there.
Hawthorne Wingo.
No, not no. Hawthorne Wingo. Tim Duncan.
I think he might be better than Duncan.
I see, Michael. I'm with you.
Although people are going to jump because Duncan was phenomenal.
I know.
But what they do for a game, I don't know, man. That's tough.
For one game, what they do for you, and, like, don't get me wrong, I love Big Fundy, but in terms of changing the game, Steph Curry plays like he's from 40 years in the future. Tim Duncan played it like he was from 40 years in the past.
Oh, that's a good line.
I'm sorry. Steph is a more revolutionary player by miles.
But Michael said something very interesting. He's like, if he's hot, what if he's not shooting well? What else is Curry going to bring to the table that a Duncan can bring?
Honestly, if he's not shooting well, he's still going to hit a few. And then on top of that, if he's able to get fouled, he's shooting 90% from the free throw.
True. Now, where do you put Isaiah?
Not in the top 10.
He had 20.
Just trying to think of teams that won.
I know.
Pippen.
Oh, no. Pippen.
He's in the top 20.
Probably not.
I put Pippen at 25. But what about Shaq?
Shaq's up there.
The D's.
You know, if you're going to just throw the big, you know, centers, why isn't Shaq in the conversation?
Shaq is, and I'm sorry, I guess he doesn't get higher than like 16 or 17 maybe, but I tell you, man, we love him for TV, but guys, how good was the Chuckster to watch?
It's amazing.
That guy was.
At his size, he was
essentially listed at 6'4", 6'5", but really was about 6'3". And was just – it could and, do everything. Did
and he
everything
went to the finals with two teams, right? The Sixers went to the finals, and he went with the Suns.
Yep.
Just couldn't get over the hump. But then you get throwing Stockton, Malone.
Now, Frank Isola rings in on a text to me. Biggest game of his life, game 7 against the Cavaliers. Steph wasn't great.
Fair. But, I mean, over the course of, what, 3 finals against the Cavs, how was he?
But, pretty good, but here's a better question since Frank brought up.
Although he doesn't win, is he doesn't better than win Durant? Finals. He doesn't win finals MVPs, though.
Is he better than Durant?
See, that's
is Durant the, better than him? I think Durant might be better.
That's an interesting, and we didn't even mention Durant.
But the overall point is that Curry's in the conversation.
He's right there.
He's right there.
If he's not 10, he's 13.
Because I think the 7 that we mentioned, you can't touch. But 8 through 10, there's a debate. There's a debate with Duncan.
But I will tell you, just remembering that, Michael, the 0 finals MVPs for Steph is a thing. I mean, don't forget, Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP.
Yeah, but Steph. The other two were Durant.
I understand that. But in terms of if we're going to look here very specifically at who's the most clutch, you get them for one game. And Frank brings up a good point. It wasn't just that one game 7. He was not necessarily the best player on their team when they got to the biggest stage.
And where was he in his career before Durant as opposed to now or during?
Well, that's the impressive part for me why Steph's in this conversation now is because he appears to be at his best right now. When you think at his size and after the injuries, he'd be on the other side.
Did you see the video of him the other night, Peter? I'm sure you did.
The video of what?
Of Steph before a game. So he started shooting from the foul line.
Oh, I saw.
Then went back behind the circle, then the 3, then kept backing up and hit every single shot all the way to the half court and then went the other way and hit every single – it's like he's from another planet.
Donnie hits every shot from the free throw line to half court, including like extra ones from one spot, never misses one. And then when he comes all the way back in shooting the whole time, hitting every single one, he does this intentional, like 30-foot high rainbow from the paint and hits that too.
So good.
That'll do it for ENN. Adon LaGreca, ENN. No clap.
I'm sorry.
He's a little tired.
I was distracted because.
Thank you.
Andrew sent a note that Barkley never made it to the finals with the Sixers.
With Philly. And that'll
not
do it for
on the 83 team that won, obviously.
It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail watching the game. Try the Playmaker, maybe the triple-double, both made with Hennessy VS. Thank you. Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Check it out. Hennessy Spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy responsibly. Thank you.
Frank providing some stats for us, too.
Yes.
Steph was 6-for-19 in that game 7, 4-for-14 on threes.
6-for-19. I mean, okay. Like, that's what I'm saying. Even in a bad night, he still brought something.
Well, 6-for-19 is not great.
It's not what you want, but he's 4-for-7 on threes.
No. It's not John Starks.
No. 4-for-14 on threes, Sally.
Oh, sorry. And 4-for-14 on threes, sorry. 6-for-19 overall.
Yeah, you're under 33%.
Gotcha.
Not what you want. That's quickly numbers.
Not unless there's a game 8.
Now, we do have some people on Twitter have given us big drop-offs at quarterback. Some of these might be the answer to Brady Gabbert. We'll talk about it and more right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Happy with this operation in general.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.